NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
Kia ora, this is Christopher Menzies. You are listening to 95 BFM.
We would like to advise passengers that this is a full sailing. Please place hand luggage and bags under your chair or the table you are sitting at and make all seating available. Thank you for listening and enjoy the sailing.
Varying comms are peppered throughout the album, start through finish, from literally the start of getting on the boat to the end, getting off the boat, so that the album is kind of like a journey between the North and the South Island. And the idea of it came about, I guess the album's got like quite a lot of New Zealand themes in it, and this felt like a good way of tying the country together and some kind of a journey through the album. But also I've done like kids entertainment before, and I did one where I was Spider-Man on the Inter-Islander, and so I went like down to Picton from Wellington and then back up to Wellington again in one day, and I recorded all of the overhead intercom announcements there. And so, and like later in here, there's one about Spider-Man coming out, and I was the Spider-Man for the kids on that trip. And so I guess that's like, that's also part of it as well. So intro is just guitar, no vocals, and it's a song that we'll often use as an intro to a live set, because it's a nice way to bring people into the, you know, people like out smoking or whatever, it's a nice way of bringing people to the space and can be as short or long as it needs to be, really. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's me having a fun time with a reverse delay pedal or effect on the pedal. But yeah, so I guess like, and it's always been called intro. So it made sense to go at the start of the album, but then it had to be positioned alongside the Inter-Islander stuff too. But I guess it's like, it's got the softer, gentler stuff at the start, and then it's got like the rougher stuff in the second half, which feels to me almost like the balance or tug of war of this album, of like gentler kind of stuff, but then it gets a bit gnarly sometimes too.
Honey on his wooden floors. The day babies handing out sausage rolls on his grandma's hand-carved wooden tray. I'll take two, thanks, Davey. And Ruff Ruff the dog is Ruff Ruffing about, biting at our heels and chasing the tennis ball. Windows cranked open with a nice cold can of ginger beer. And a cool breeze flows in through your golden hair. Other side of the room on the couch. You're the nicest person in the room, and I can't help but smile. You're the nicest person in the room. You're looking over at me, I'm smiling back at you. I won't forget this quickly. You're the nicest person in the room. You're looking over at me, I'm smiling back at you too. How did we get this far? You're the nicest person in the room. You're on the couch with your friend Linda. Well, Linda's pretty nice too.
Some notes on Appy. It initially started as a second bit to Mashed Potato, which is the next song. And it was a separate section. I was trying to work out a different part for Mashed Potato, and I remember I wrote it and brought it to the band, and we like played around with it a bit. And Doug, the bass player, was like, I think you've just written a new song, Chris. And I was like, no. Like, no, I want like a different section to Mashed Potato to like, you know, change things up or whatever. And he's like, eh. And then we started playing around with it by its own, and we're like, oh yeah, no, this definitely is its own thing. But yeah, they almost started as like conjoined twins or something, right? You know, and then separated apart. Which is in part why they were the two singles of the album. Mm-hmm. And run next to each other.
Yeah.
And they both have the title of the album in it too, so they feel like very different songs, but they feel like conjoined. They started off as one.
Yeah.
I remember I had that chord progression and I was like, oh, this is way too cheesy. I was like, I don't know what we can do with this. And it felt quite different to things we'd done previously. And I remember actually chatting with my partner at the time and being like, oh, what do I, like, I don't know what to do with this chord progression. It feels too cheesy. And she was like, I think you know what to do with it. And I was like, what? I was like, what does that even mean? And I thought about it and I was like, wait a minute, if I did know what to do with it, what would I do with it?
Right.
And I was like, oh, I'd just lean into it and make it like super cheesy.
Super cheesy, double down, yeah.
I think that's where the name came from. I was like, okay, well, this is what it's going to be called. This
yeah.
This is what it's going to be called. Because we didn't have like a purely positive song until that point.
Right, interesting, yeah.
My teeth remind reminding me what it's like to be alone again. Mashed potato on my cheek, reminding me what it's like to be alone again. That mole upon your breast, reminding me what it's like to be alone again. Coca-Cola on your breath, reminding me what it's like to be alone again. Right now, I can't even think what a tangerine is. Right now, I can't even think what a tangerine is right now.
I think it came together reasonably literally,
and
then has since taken on like its own. I don't know. It can be whatever it should be. But I remember, I think I'd like had a breakup and was cooking for myself, and was making mashed potato, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Like making mashed potato for myself again. This is like, oh yeah, this is what it is like. To be single, to be alone.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I forgot about this. And then I genuinely couldn't remember what a tangerine was. I was like, you know, because there's like tangerine, satsuma, like, you know, there's all these different ones. And I was like trying to visualize them in my head. And I was like, I can't properly separate which are which.
Hello, Austin. Welcome to the Austin Children.
Have a very special guest on board, so be on the lookout for Spider-Man. We'll be coming around in 15 minutes' time. Don't worry if you miss him. We'll be out with Plankton up on deck 8 of the kids' area. So come along and say hello.
Special guest. I remember because I had to tell the person who was
doing the overhead intercom announcement, like, when I was about to go out as Spider-Man, and she was like, maybe she hadn't been at the job that long. She was like really nervous about doing the intercom announcement. She was in like the kids section, the toy section, where they sell like not toy, you know, they have like cards and that kind of stuff, really expensive cards in the Dry Islander. So she like wrote out the whole script word for word to read it out and like checked it by me beforehand. It was like really sweet. So then I like, she had that, and then I had to like run back and get ready to record the message on my phone because I knew like the come announcement was going to come out shortly. Yeah. Anyway. Crouching, yeah. So we recorded in August last year, 2025, and I put a veto on any new songs sometime through the year, just so that we could get, you know, the songs that we had for the album as tight as we possibly could and be really comfortable with them. And I remember I brought that to the band practice and was like, hey, okay, like we've got the songs, that you know, album tracks are all sorted, we're not going to do any more. And Doug, the bassist, was like, "What? Like, are you kidding me? Like, no way. We surely we can do another few fun ones on the side." And I was like, "No, we just like got to do these songs." So we played some songs, and he was like, "Can we just like do something else?" And I was like, "Oh, I do have this like one other idea," and played through the chord progression to Crouching, and we just nailed it first go. Like Samuel played the guitar that he played then was like, I reckon note for note, exactly what is on the album. Doug's bass line was exactly the same. Nikita's drums, I think that was the only thing that changed from like one take to the next. But within like 4 minutes, the song was pretty much done. and we're like, oh shit, I guess that's another song for the album. And I can't remember if it booted something out or if it just went as well as. So that's how it came to be.
I always wanted to be tackled by an all black. I always wanted to be tackled to the ground. Taste the sweet grass between my teeth.
feel the soft mud against my cheek. So Conrad Smith, take my hips and plough me into the ground. Mills Mully Iena, I had a dream ya ploughed me into the ground. Oh, come on, Richie, I'm feeling itchy. Plough me into the ground. Plough me into the ground. I always wanted to be tackled by an All Black. I always wanted to be pummeled to the ground. Feel the full force of a running horse. Learn how coarse is the wild gorse. So Conrad Smith, take my hips and plough me into the ground. Christian Cullen, put me in the oven and turn the dial round. Oh, come on, Richie, I'm feeling itchy. Plough me into the ground. I'll even take Razor, put on a blazer and plough me into the ground. And plough me into the ground. And plough me into the ground. And plough me into the ground.
All Black. Yeah, All Black came to me as just words. And I, with the melody. And I would sing it. I had it for some time. And I went back recently and looked at the voice memos for it, which is where pretty much all the songs start. And the very first voice memo that I had for All Black was almost exactly the first verse, like as it got recorded for the album. So like it came out pretty fully formed, at least for that first verse. And the second verse is not too dissimilar. But yeah, I remember stewing with it for some time and I'd sing it in the shower and whatnot. And then I didn't know what to do with it, and I tried putting chords on piano beneath it and guitar and trying out different things, and nothing seemed to make it any better. And so it just sat there until one day I was like, oh, shit, like maybe it is just the vocals and nothing else. And so I tried it out in a gig once just as like a tester, really, and I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, no, this is it. I was like, it is just the words. Like, there's nothing else that this needs. Yeah, so that was how it came to be. Yeah, I remember we recorded at the surgery in Newtown, and to record this one, we like dimmed all the lights, and I put like some like mood lamps. Like I wanted like almost like candle energy, but yeah, it was like really dim lighting, almost all the lights off for the recording, so I could like get in the headspace for it.
Yeah, I love that. Are there any other songs that you kind of like transformed the space to get you into that mindset? Or is it just this song in particular?
This was the main one. There was a point somewhere in the album where, so we had me in a vocal booth and Samuel, Doug and Nikita in the same room playing together. Samuel plays guitar, but it meant that he couldn't go quite as raucous on, like, he's so good at like feedback and noise and just general like extra sounds that guitars can make. And he couldn't go quite as hard with that in the room because that would bleed through into some of the other mics and whatnot. And then at some point we threw him out like in the kitchen space by himself. Like no one could even see him with the amp where he could just do whatever he wanted. And it changed everything. He like was like unleashed, and we got so much good stuff from that. So that was like a key change to the space that we made that like let him really like, let loose.
Thank you. Imagine if I'd taken you to the park. We could have
chasm was, so my nana, Daphne, whose maiden name was Menzies, actually, it's like the lineage, she died 2 years ago on her 92nd or 93rd birthday, and there was a window of like 5 days or so where she had like a medical event, probably choked on something, and then was like kind of, she was dying. She was not visibly conscious, and we knew, like, you know, the road to the end was there. And so all the family came around. She's an absolute legend of a woman. And this is in Masterton, and I'm in Wellington. And so there was this period of time that I refer to now as Daphne Fest, because it was like we were like in Masterton, like in and out of the place where she was at, in and out of her home, me and my sisters and parents and stuff all there. And it was a beautiful time, just like hanging out with Daphne. You know, she was just breathing away, and we're all just like laughing and having a good time, telling stories. Anyway, the song, or I should say these notes, because there's actually only three notes in the entire song with this, came to me in the middle of Daphne Fest one night, at a spot that we were staying at, and I just played them over and over again, and yeah, I felt really drawn to the notes, I guess. The words aren't specifically about Daphne at all, really, but I remember I had a voice memo of those notes, and when driving back and forth over the Rimutakas, like the next day or the day after, found the words just singing, like belting. I was just driving by myself and like belting the different words out in the van. So that was the genesis of the chasm. And yeah, again, we kept it really sparse and stripped back. It didn't need much. It's just my guitar and Samuel's guitar and my voice. We had some bass, but we pulled it out. It didn't, yeah.
Telling myself I've got this. Superman pose in the lift. Asking politely, where's the bathroom? Splashing water from the sink. There's a long way to go. There's a long way. There's a long way to go.
There's a long way to go. I've grown my hair out for the second time. I'm hoping it works. Catch your eye unintentionally. It hurts. There's a long way to go. 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 You pull the sheet up uninvitingly. You watch me take a piss. Of course I love you. When does life get bigger than this? When does life get bigger than this? When does life get bigger? You pull my hair back quite delightfully. You say, come on, Chris. Soft lips against my cheek. When does life get bigger than this? When does life get bigger than this?
Yeah, I guess I think about Superman pose in the lift. Like, I guess the thought in my head when seeing that is like applying for a job that you don't even know if you probably don't even want it, but it's like, oh, I need a job type situation. Yeah. And to your earlier question, when was the last time I did a Superman pose? Honestly, I don't reckon that long ago. I reckon I would have busted one out sometime in the last couple months. I couldn't tell you the exact time though.
Don't forget me. asking for more before and the moon stops. Heavily before the floor and the crowd stops. Asking for more before you ask more, you ask more, you ask more, you ask more from yourself.
Ashram came about, I was on like a summer kind of road trip holiday and took my three-quarter acoustic guitar with me and had it in standard tuning, which I hadn't had for quite a while, and wrote some songs that I then brought back. And I remember Doug, the bassist, like calling it my like cheesy, like New Zealand top hits summer, because I like came back with all these like, I guess, more standard chords and standard kind of chord patterns and melodies. And Ashram definitely fell into that. And Superman Pose, I think, came from that as well. There's probably others. But Ashram, on that road trip, I'd found the book Eat, Pray, Love in an op shop or somehow it came into my possession. And I was like, I want to read this. This thing's like a spectacle. Like, what's it all about? And I haven't seen the movie. And so anyway, I read the book, and in the book, the author goes, like, you know, it's like she runs away from a marriage and their life and goes and has a year away overseas. A chapter of that, or a third of the book, is her going to India and going to an ashram and like finding herself or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so I was reading that at the time as writing these songs. And so this song is from the perspective of her kind of lover back at home while she's off having this wonderful, beautiful, enriching time at an ashram, and there's someone still like back in the US, presumably for her, not at the ashram, thinking about her at the ashram. So we've got trombone through the album. A very dear friend of mine, Wilson Kane, has played trombone throughout, and it's in Superman Pose, Ashram, Crouching, Triptych. Yeah, it's kind of scattered throughout in different spots, but probably has its biggest moment in Ashram. Yeah, and it's got a bit of a moment in Superman Pose as well. So trombone, we did it as an overdub, and it was lots of fun working out the parts.
Your attention, all children. We are now ready to collect your colouring in the competition. Please return them at the Omnibus shop on Deck 7 and the winners will be announced in 10 minutes' time. Thank you.
Yeah, another intercom, interlude. And yeah, I feel like every inter-islander trip I've ever been on, there's like the colouring competition is like a core part. You know, you see the kids run away for it and you see them go hand in their competition, their drawings and stuff. And so, yeah, I captured this on that same trip. And I actually got it twice because there were two versions, one when I went down to the South Island, one when I came back up. And this was the one that sounded better of the two, so it's the one I used.
Talking about Susie Cato.
I'm so tired. Don McGlashan's child walking, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. Conversation's mild walking, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. Conversation's mild talking, I'm so tired, I'm so tired.
To say about Susie Cato, I think it's probably the oldest song on the album. It's the one we've had for the longest, and has gone through a few changes, but the core structure has always been there. The words, whether intentionally or not, definitely look at, like, you know, childhood in New Zealand with Susie Cato and Play-Doh and Don McGlashan's child. Like, I when I look at it as a whole, it just makes me think about growing up in Aotearoa. And often I think about my nephew, who's four, when I sing it as well. Yeah, we used to have this kind of this breakdown bit in it, and it used to be Doug, the bassist, used to have a theremin, which is like the needle thing you pull up and yeah. And so that we used to have a theremin section in the song, and that's what we'd do. And then he sold the bloody theremin without any prior conversation or consultation. And I was like, Doug, this is a core part of the band and the song, and now we just don't have one. I was like, Kevin, like, what else can we do here anyway? So we fill it with other stuff for live sets now. And for the recording, Doug went, he like had a zany time on a synthesizer and filled it there. And I did some key stuff. And I think we even had like some power drills or something in there. But anyway, the theremin is no more. There's no theremin in the band. I'm still, you can hear it in my voice. Yeah. I'm still salty about it.
Bring back the theremin.
In place of the theremin, or maybe it wasn't in place of the theremin, but we worked this out in the studio. And this did go in the theremin gap, was that Samuel, in all of his feedbackery, he worked out, we had this like as a Kmart microphone, like karaoke microphone that doesn't plug into anything. It's just by itself and you can sing into it, and it, like, you know, makes your voice a little bit louder, not significantly, with different effects on it. And we brought that into the studio with us, and Samuel worked out that if he turned it on and pointed it at the pickups on his guitar, it created like gnarly feedback, like quite horrible, like unbearable high pitch, like just from like holding it and pointing it at the guitar. And we're like, what is this? So we recorded it and got this like crazy feedback from him playing like the microphone into his own guitar pickup, and that filled the spot of the theremin. So there's still something kind of interesting there, but it's not theremin.
Good evening, all children. We are now ready to announce the winners for our coloring in the competition. The winners are Sam from Tekawini, Phoebe from Wellington, Emma from Raglan, and Cara from Wellington. Please make your way to the shop located on Deck 7 to collect your prize. Congratulations to all the winners, and thank you to all those who took part.
I was trying to work out where to put them, and it felt right to have them bookend Susie Cato, I guess because of that strong, like, intentional childhood in Aotearoa thing. So they kind of got glued together when I was working out the track order. And yeah, that's where it felt right. Anyway, congratulations to those kids that won the competition that day. I never entered it as a youth, and I obviously couldn't now, and this was by stealth, but I wouldn't do such a thing. No. I wish I had.
Thank you.
biggest regret of my life. Took 10 years to apologize. Told my friends I apologized. I sure have a way. I got away with it. Yeah, I sure have a way. Screeching about you. I'm screeching about you. I'm screeching.
sucks on a Sunday. Your book on my bookshelf. The note that you wrote me. You said, Bill, I'll never forget the summer. Well, I guess you.
Yeah, we wrote it. You're right that it's three parts, hence the name Triptych, and yeah, not particularly creative song naming there. That was kind of what it was named from the start and just stuck around. The part one, the slower bit, definitely came first, and then part two and three came pretty soon after together. And I think the first part came together when Miles, who was the previous guitarist, and I had a rehearsal once with just him and I, and we found those like volume swells on guitar, and we just like got into some kind of trance like state, or maybe, I don't know, we just like, it was just us and there wasn't much to do. And I've got like, it's like a 16 minute recording of him and I just whoop, whoop, like doing that for ages. Yeah, exactly. And the words actually came in that session, like reasonably close to what the final words were as well. or like similar thematic material. So that sort of took care of that part. And shortly after, it's all in open D, as with a few other of the songs on the album. And I think I was just having a real open D moment on guitar. And so the other parts came shortly after, but none of them felt like their own complete song. Like they didn't feel like they should stand up by themselves. And we really quickly started playing them one after the other. Like they kind of just came reasonably conjoined. There was never ever really any serious discussion about pulling them apart. Part two came about, this violin and trombone in it, and then part three gets really raucous. It's quite like playing it live is like a real journey, you know, because it starts so gentle and tame and like at least like I find singing it quite emotional. We don't do it a huge amount. And then by the end, it just like it explodes into mayhem, which honestly feels really good. Yeah, it's funny. I remember that line, "Mama's coming home," because it appears in part two and part three. And I really wanted to try and thread it into part, like near the start of the song as well, into part one to get it the whole way through. And it just never quite like felt too abrasive, like it didn't quite slot in. So I just left it with part two and three. But yeah, I guess God, that's more like childhood themes. something that was really nice about the recording of Triptych was that, so Miles Sutton, he was in the band from the start as the guitarist. He's got his own band, Welcomer. Shout out Welcomer, brilliant band. I love them. And then he moved to France, and so he left. And that's when Samuel joined us. But it was Miles and I that wrote the first part of Triptych, and that was the genesis of the song. And he came back from overseas when we kind of just wrapped up recording, and it's his backing vocals at the very end when it all kind of explodes, echoing back mine. So it was nice to, that's the only bit that he's on in the whole album, but it was nice to have him there like shouting at the top of his lungs to kind of round it out, because that song wouldn't be, you know, if it weren't for him. So that felt special and nice to, yeah, just have him going mad on it. We also, Doug and I were doing overdubs in his garage, Muscle Palace. Rest in peace, Muscle Palace. He moved house. There's no Muscle Palace anymore. It was also, I never saw any exercise ever going on in Muscle Palace. So, but we were recording in Muscle Palace, and we just like, for this end section, we got out like all the power drills. So we had like the drill going and the sander, and just like caught all those noises. And so that whole end section, it's like got all sorts of zany stuff in there, because we just kind of threw the kitchen sink or Muscle Palace at it.
Wake up, fool. Wake up. Wake up, fool.
Yeah, these two overhead intercom announcements were like pretty, well, actually one's a human voice and then one's the intercom announcement, happened pretty close to each other on the trip. This was the first time I'd ever had a cabin on the ferry on the Inter-Islander, and I didn't know that there was a wake-up call, but I heard this person coming down the hallway because like the knock was like kind of quiet, and I was like, oh, I need to record this because this is great. You know, they're making sure that, I think lots of the cabins as well are like truck drivers and things as well. So they're like having a schnooze before they get driving again. Because one of them had to help me, was it in or out of the Spider-Man costume? I forgot about that too right now. It was so funny. You know, it was like this burly truck driver like zipping me up, I think it was, because I couldn't get around the back. Oh god. Anyway, so I heard this knocking coming down the hallway, so I recorded it, plus the farewell over the intercom. Felt like a nice way to close out the album, with arriving at the destination and coming to, I guess. I didn't want it to feel like the whole thing was a dream, but it felt like a nice conclusion. Yeah, on outro, the other thing is, it was my birthday last year in October, and I had like a bunch of friends, was there family? I don't think it was just like, yeah, no, a bunch of pals round at mine for a croissant breakfast. Lovely way to do a birthday, I recommend to anyone. And I got out the recording equipment and got everyone there to sing, holding my cold hand, even though yours is warm. And so captured that from my lounge, and that's in the outro as well. And also those same voices, I got everyone to sing. That and some of the bit to Appy as well. And so it felt really nice to, they like sit pretty low in the mix on outro, but they're the final voices of the album. And nice to have some of my most favorite and loved humans in the world being the voices at the end of the record and seeing it out.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.